Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Friday, August 10th, and I'm here following the Green Bay Packers 31-17 preseason opening victory over the Tennessee Titans. I'm your host, Tom Silverstein. You are listening to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast. And boy, we got a lot to talk about today. I always call preseason games meaningless, and I usually mean that. But, you know, I will say there were some developments in this game that are interesting that will require us to do some evaluation. First and foremost was the play of the quarterbacks. If you had your money on Tim Boyle being the most productive quarterback of the night, then you probably are walking home a rich person. Boyle was 7 of 15 for 130 yards, two touchdowns, 116.7 passer rating. His big play, a 52-yard bomb to Jake Kumerow for a touchdown. Brett Hundley started the game. 9 of 14 for 108 yards, one touchdown, and one interception, which was not really his fault. He got hit from behind. The ball popped up. DeShone Kizer, 9 of 18, 134 yards. So I think the way we'll get started here is let's listen to Mike McCarthy talk about the play of the quarterbacks.
I thought Brett Hundley did some really good things. Got us started with the big throw there. So productive, decision-making was sound. You know, I thought clearly his tempo was the best of the three quarterbacks. You know, we had the two sacks were the negative of his time in there, but I thought he played well. I thought all three quarterbacks contributed, you know, especially for the first time out. You know, all three guys made big plays, and you have to be able to make big plays. I mean, Sean's big throw on second and 30, and Tim had some big throws there in the fourth quarter, so. But, you know, just definitely things, you know, we burned our timeouts, two of them on communication. So, I mean, there's definitely things to learn from. Tempo was low up and down there. So
let's start with Hundley, since he started the game and got the ball at 25-yard line after Tennessee had driven 71 yards for a touchdown. And I'll tell you what I thought about Hundley was I thought he was far more patient than he was last year when he would bail out of the pocket really quickly at any moment that he felt some pressure. And today I thought, or last night I thought he played more within himself. He looked for open receivers. I think he played within the offense. And his big play was a really nicely thrown deep ball to Davante Adams, 48-yard gain. And I'll tell you, Davante Adams, if he continues to play the way he's played in practice and preseason, this guy is going to have a monster year. I've just been so impressed with how much better he seems. I didn't think he could get that much better, but Maybe it's just a training camp thing, but I really want to see what Davante Adams does this year. Anyway, Hundley had a false start on second and three at the three, came back to the 8-yard line, hit Jamal Williams in the flat. Williams powered in for the touchdown. Nice drive, 7 plays, 75 yards. I think what really just struck me about Hundley was his command. He had a little bit more command than what I remember, and he moved the ball, and that's all they can ask from him right now. Now, he has to continue to get better, but he seemed to have more command than anybody else of the huddle and the offense. Kizer was up and down, and I see some issues with him with touch and short passes, particularly in the condensed area when they get inside the 10-yard line. And that's going to be something to keep an eye on as the preseason goes on. He had two opportunities to get in close into the end zone and wasn't able to push it through, and had a couple of passes that weren't very accurate. So that's something to keep an eye on. But the guy is big, he can run, and he seems to be gaining a little bit more confidence. Finally, Tim Boyle, I was very interested to see how he would do. He's got such a big arm that it's a pleasure to watch him throw the ball. And it's pretty amazing that how much he's willing to stand in the pocket and endure hits. And he just, when he's not going to hit every ball that he throws. Right now, he's inconsistent like a rookie would be. But boy, when he gets an open receiver, he's going to put it right on him. And he did it on a couple of throws across the middle. And then he did it to the Kumerow. Kumerow got a step on the corner. He put it right on him. He had another ball to Jamon Moore that probably would have been a touchdown, over a 50-yard touchdown, and Moore just dropped it. And it was a perfect ball. Now, some other passes he threw into the dirt, he overthrew. He doesn't have total command of the offense, but he gives them something to work with as a potential number three. And if he plays well enough, you got to think that given what happened with them and Taysom Hill, who had a pretty good game himself Friday night in New Orleans, that they're not going to let him go, that they're not going to make that mistake twice. So we'll see. Still a lot of time. It's just one game. He's playing against the scrubs, but he was also playing with a lot of third stringers. And in my years covering the NFL, I always thought it was the guys, the quarterbacks who could do things with less guys on the field, with less talent on the field, who really separated themselves as legitimate quarterbacks. And I saw it over time. I saw Ty Detmer do that. I saw Mark Brunell do that. I saw Matt Hasselbeck do that. Aaron Brooks. It's a really easy way to see how much whether this guy has NFL talent, if he's above the talent that's on the field with him. So that was definitely something worth watching. Wide receiver play, you can read our, go to jsonline.com or packersnews.com, and we wrote a lot about the receivers. But I'll just say this, that the wide receiver race between these three rookies, and really if you want to throw Kumerow in there, I kind of think that he's ahead of those guys, but the athletic ability of Valdez-Scantling, Marquez, and Equanimeous St. Brown is pretty remarkable. Scantling, if he ever puts it all together, this guy can run like the wind, and he's big. And he made some really nice catches. Now, coverage is going to be different in the regular season, and these guys are not going to be able to do what they did, what they're doing in the preseason when they're running routes against some of the best corners. So with that in mind, I want to lead into this next segment, my favorite, by the way, with a little bit of background. As we all know, that Aaron Rodgers kind of took the rookie wide receivers to task for not performing very well with the scout team in Wednesday's practice, and was pretty called it piss poor, their performance. And after the game on Thursday night, McCarthy was asked about that, and that's going to be the subject of.
Say what? Say what? Say what?
Well, I mean, really, that stuff. Talk with Aaron briefly after that. When you speak with emotion and frustration, that's really about as far as it goes. You know, this is a football team that's growing and trying to get better each and every day. So, at the end of the day, the evaluation of every player in our team, it's a very thorough process, and I'm very pleased with a lot of good things our young receivers are doing.
So, what exactly was Mike McCarthy trying to say there? Using my best interpretation, I think he said that Rodgers overreacted, and that really that overall that nobody should point fingers at the young wide receivers, that it's a constant evaluation, and that one performance you can't judge them on one performance. He may not have liked what he saw, and I'm sure that was probably addressed. But I think when Aaron Rodgers comes out and says it, it becomes a pretty big issue. And I believe that's probably what happened. And I think McCarthy wanted to downplay that a little bit and make sure that did not turn into anything bigger than it was. This is going to be a long process to try to figure out what they're going to be able to offer this year. It's definitely going to be a challenge for them to, when they get to the regular games, they're going to see so many different coverages, better players. They're also, if they do get playing time, they're not going to be drawing the best corner on the field. That's going to be Davante Adams. What I like about Scantling is that he seems to be really even keeled. Same with St. Brown. Nothing seems to really bother him. Jamon Moore, there's a little bit of concern there with how inconsistent he is, and then seemed to get down on himself as well. So lot to see there. I thought, just to finish up on the offense, I thought the running game was pretty poor. They sat a lot of guys. Offensive line, Bakhtiari didn't play. Lane Taylor didn't play. Obviously, Brian Bulaga didn't play. So there were some hiccups, and I thought some of the runs were not very well blocked. Titans are really good on defense, their first team. They didn't stay on the field very long, but they did do some blitzing, and that caused some issues for the Packers offense. Other than that, tight end play, not really a factor. I can't really tell you a lot about the defense because it was extremely vanilla. I was very surprised. Petten didn't really try too many blitzes, rotated a lot of people in. I think we'll address that. We're getting kind of long here today, but I'll try to address some more of that on Monday. There were no big surprises. Nothing really stood out that much for me. So we'll try to capture that and see what happens on practice on Sunday, and then follow up on Monday for more about the defense. So I hope you enjoyed that. And before I head out and start the music, I want to send a shout out to Club Paragon Windler's crew for their championship, West Milwaukee Park Softball Championship, won on Wednesday night. Second year in a row, they're champions, and the only reason I bring it up is because I'm on that team. So it was a lot of fun, and we popped the corks, and that's all you're going to hear about it from me. But congratulations to all our players. It was quite a year. So with that, let's go to the music. I'll see you next time. We'll be right back. So, to get back to...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.